Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision podcast. I'm your study guide, and today we're diving deep into one of the most studied plays in the entire GCSE canon, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Whether your exam is weeks away or just around the corner, this episode is going to give you everything you need. The key themes, the essential quotes, the exam techniques that examiners actually reward, and a quickfire quiz at the end to test your recall. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. First, let's talk about why Romeo and Juliet is such a rich text to study. Written around 1594 to 1596, it's a tragedy, and that word tragedy is important. Shakespeare didn't write it just to make you sad. He wrote it to explore what happens when passion, pride, and poor timing collide. The play asks a fundamental question. Are Romeo and Juliet victims of fate? Or are they victims of their own impulsive choices? That tension between destiny and free will is at the heart of every good essay you'll write about this play. Now let's move into the core concepts. We'll cover the five big themes you absolutely must know. Theme one, love. And not just one kind of love, Shakespeare presents multiple types. There's the idealized, almost obsessive love Romeo has for Rosaline at the start. He describes her using Petrarchan conventions, calling her a bright angel, and using oxymorons like loving hate. This is courtly love, performative, poetic, and ultimately shallow. Then there's the transformative love between Romeo and Juliet, which Shakespeare presents as genuine and consuming. Juliet says, "My bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love as deep." That simile comparing love to the sea is extraordinary. It suggests love is immeasurable, infinite, and potentially dangerous. Examiners love it when you notice that the sea can also be destructive. That's a perceptive reading. There's also the love of family loyalty. The Capulets and Montagues love their family names more than they love peace. And there's the nurse's earthy, practical love for Juliet, a contrast to the romantic idealism of the young lovers. When you write about love, always ask, what kind of love is Shakespeare presenting here? And what is his attitude towards it? Theme two, fate and free will. The prologue is your starting point for every fate essay. Shakespeare tells us immediately that Romeo and Juliet are a pair of star-crossed lovers. The word star-crossed comes from the Elizabethan belief that the stars controlled human destiny. By telling us the ending before the play begins, Shakespeare creates dramatic irony throughout. We watch the lovers make choices, knowing those choices lead to death. Romeo himself has a premonition before the Capulet party. Some consequence yet hanging in the stars shall bitterly begin. He feels fate pulling at him, and yet he goes in anyway. Is that fate or is that choice? The best essays explore both possibilities. When Romeo kills Tybalt and cries, "Oh, I am fortune's fool," he's blaming fortune, blaming fate. But he made the choice to draw his sword. That ambiguity is what makes the play so powerful. Theme three, conflict and violence. The play opens with a brawl and ends with a double suicide. Violence is everywhere, but Shakespeare is making a point about the cycle of violence, how hatred breeds more hatred. The prince's warning, "If ever you disturb our streets again, your lives shall pay the forfeit of the peace," establishes that violence has consequences. Tybalt is the embodiment of honor-based violence. He says, "What drawn in talk of peace? I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues and thee." That list, hell, Montagues, thee, equates the Montagues with the devil. It's extreme, and it's meant to be. Tybalt represents a world where honor matters more than human life. Romeo, by contrast, tries to avoid conflict with Tybalt after his secret marriage to Juliet. His refusal to fight is actually an act of love, but it costs Mercutio his life. Theme four, gender and power. This is where Juliet becomes a genuinely radical character for Elizabethan audiences. Women in Elizabethan England had very little agency. They were expected to obey their fathers, then their husbands. Juliet defies this at every turn. In the balcony scene, she takes control of the courtship. "If that thy bent of love be honorable, thy purpose marriage, send me word tomorrow." She sets the terms. She proposes, essentially, Lord Capulet's treatment of Juliet when she refuses to marry Paris. "Hang thee, young baggage. disobedient wretch, shows the violence of patriarchal control. His rage reveals how threatening female disobedience was in this society. Juliet's final act, taking her own life, can be read as the ultimate act of agency. She will not be controlled, even by death. Theme 5, death and tragedy. Shakespeare foreshadows death constantly. Juliet says, "My grave is like to be my wedding bed." She says this before she even knows Romeo's name. The imagery of love and death intertwines throughout. The lover's language is full of death metaphors. Romeo says he would rather die than live without Juliet's love. The tomb at the end is both a place of death and, briefly, a place of reunion. The prince's final words, "All are punished," suggest that the tragedy is collective. Everyone has played a part. The feud killed the lovers as surely as the poison and the dagger. Now let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. The most important thing to understand is the assessment objectives. For GCSE English Literature, you're being assessed on 4 things. AO1 is your personal response and textual references. That's roughly 40% of your marks. AO2 is your analysis of the writer's methods, language, structure, form, also around 40%. AO3 is context, historical, social, literary, about 10%. And AO4 is spelling, punctuation, and grammar, another 10%, but only on certain questions. Here's the single biggest mistake students make. They retell the plot. I cannot stress this enough. Examiners are not rewarding you for knowing what happens. They are rewarding you for analyzing how Shakespeare creates meaning. Every paragraph should be asking, what technique is Shakespeare using here, and what effect does it have on the audience? The second most common mistake is feature spotting. That's when you write something like, Shakespeare uses a metaphor here. Full stop, that earns you almost nothing. You need to analyze the effect. Shakespeare uses the metaphor of the sea to suggest that Juliet's love is both boundless and potentially overwhelming. The sea, while beautiful, can also be destructive, foreshadowing the tragedy to come. That's analysis. That earns marks. Third mistake, bolting on context. Context should be woven into your analysis, not stuck on at the end of a paragraph as an afterthought. Don't write, "This shows Romeo is impulsive." In Elizabethan times, men were expected to be honorable. Instead, write, "Romeo's impulsive decision to fight Tybalt reflects the Elizabethan code of honor, in which a man's reputation was considered more valuable than his life." Yet Shakespeare subverts this expectation by showing how such honor-bound behavior leads only to tragedy. Fourth, misreading Elizabethan vocabulary. "Wherefore art thou Romeo" does not mean, "Where are you, Romeo?" It means, "Why are you Romeo? Why do you have to be a Montague?" Julia is lamenting that the man she loves belongs to the enemy family. Getting this wrong in an exam is a costly error. Now for the extract question, which is typically worth 30 marks plus 4 for SPEG, you need a roughly 50-50 split between close analysis of the extract and reference to the wider play. Start with the extract, analyze it in depth, look at specific word choices, imagery, rhythm, structure. Then, broaden out. How does this moment connect to the play as a whole? What does it reveal about character or theme that we see elsewhere? Plan your time carefully. For a 30-mark question, spend about 5 minutes planning, then around 40 minutes writing. That's roughly 8 to 10 solid paragraphs. Quality over quantity, a focused analytical paragraph is worth far more than 3 vague ones. Use subject terminology precisely. Words like iambic pentameter, soliloquy, dramatic irony, oxymoron, foreshadowing, and Petrarchan convention signal to the examiner that you understand how Shakespeare crafts his effects, but only use them when you can explain why they matter. Now, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What does star-crossed mean in the prologue? Pause. It means their love is opposed by the stars. Fate is against them. It draws on the Elizabethan belief in astrology. Question 2. What does wherefore mean in Juliet's famous line? Pause. It means why, not where. Juliet is asking why Romeo has to be a Montague. Question 3. Name 3 techniques Shakespeare uses to present the theme of fate. Pause. Dramatic irony? We know the ending before the play begins. Foreshadowing? Juliet says, "My grave is like to be my wedding bed." Celestial imagery, star-crossed lovers, some consequence, yet hanging in the stars. Question 4. How does Shakespeare present Juliet as challenging Elizabethan gender expectations? Pause. She takes control of the courtship in the balcony scene, proposes marriage herself, defies her father's authority, and ultimately chooses her own death rather than submit to patriarchal control. Question 5. What is the significance of the prologue being written as a sonnet? Pause. The sonnet form is traditionally associated with love poetry, but Shakespeare uses it to announce death. This immediately links love and death, suggesting they are inseparable in this play. And finally, let's wrap up with your 5 essential takeaways from today's episode. 1. Romeo and Juliet is a tragedy about the collision of love, fate, and family conflict. Always keep that big picture in mind. 2. The prologue is your anchor for fate essays. Return to it again and again. 3. Juliet is a radical, proto-feminist character. Her agency and defiance are central to the play's meaning. 4. Never retell the plot. Always analyze how Shakespeare creates meaning through language, structure, and form. 5. Context should be woven in, not bolted on. Show how Elizabethan society shapes the character's choices and the audience's response. That's it for today's episode. You've got this. Go back over your key quotes, practice embedding them into analytical sentences, and remember, the examiner wants to see your thinking, your interpretation, your voice. Good luck, and keep revising.